Narada has responded to Vyasa's request. The reason why you are feeling incomplete and despondent is that you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of God. That's straight to the point. And any philosophy that doesn't satisfy the Lord, his transcendental senses, is considered worthless. Because Vyas has written Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, the four goals of life, but they are not meant for Krishna's pleasure. They are self-centered, for the performer's center, including moksha, liberation. Worthless. Condemned as worthless. So although you have broadly described the four principles, beginning with Dharma, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those words, you have described so many things with your great expertise, but because they don't describe the glories of the Lord, they're considered like a pilgrimage place of crows, refused, refuse that is refused by perfect persons, the Paramhamsas. Even though you've perfectly written these things, beautifully, poetically. But on the other hand, if there is a literature that describes the glories of the Lord, it is of a different quality. It is of a transcendental quality. It is not of the material world. And therefore, Paramhamsas, the most exalted persons, will take shelter of that literature, even if it is imperfectly composed. So what to speak of the words that describe something material, text 12, Narada says that even knowledge, what to speak of fruit of activities, even transcendental knowledge, which is beyond any material tinges, when devoid of the glories of the Lord, is nasobate. It doesn't look very proper. It is not beautiful. And that too won't satisfy the soul. So Vyas, your vision is completely perfect. You have so many glorious qualities. Just think about the Lord in trance. And you will understand everything. And you will be able to help the people in general. Because this was Vyasa's concern. He saw that the age of Kali, the disgraceful, degrading, and like a whirlpool, Kali comes and sucks everyone downward. It was coming, and Vyasa's idea was to help. Narada continues, the problem is that if you set up these intermediary goals, even though you're trying to get people to come up to the highest platform of Krishna consciousness, you're setting up intermediary goals. And what that does, when you talk about something as separate from the Lord, it reacts. Its form reacts with the minds of the people that hear it. Its names, the desires react with people's minds. And people just follow those things because the mind, once it wants something, it's like a boat being driven by the wind with no rudder. It's going to pull everyone into repeated birth and death. And as people naturally tend to enjoy anyway, this is the Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Janiha. Everyone is in this world thinking themselves Purusha and are trying to enjoy. And you're encouraging them for self-centered activities as if it was religion. But it's not actually religion, it's self-centered. So therefore, they will take shelter of you and use your name, saying that Vyasadeva has said we should do these things, and therefore they won't be inclined for any prohibition, and they won't be inclined to remove themselves from the center. So this complete selfless pure devotional service by which one can know the Supreme Lord, bhaktimam abhijananti, is very, very, very difficult. Therefore, only a very expert personality who has no desires for material activity will understand this transcendental knowledge, which is actually no different from the Lord. So what to do as an alternative to what you have done, which was to establish intermediary goals as if they were independent from the actual goal of connecting everything to Krishna. So instead of doing that, to help those who are materially attached and can't come to this highest level immediately, you should show the ways of transcendental realization. How? Through descriptions of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. And even if someone takes completely to the Lord's service, which is the highest thing, but he falls down because his renunciation and determination and sincerity. So even if such a person falls down due to his immaturity or even his sensuality or his insincerity, but there is no danger of his lack of success, because once he started this thing, his gain has been eternal, and he's developed a relationship with Krishna, and Krishna will care for him. And on the other hand, someone who gains something material, even though he may be perfectly successful, actually he's gained nothing, because everything will be stolen away by time, and that is unstoppable. So therefore, tasyaiva hetu prayate tukovito. You have engaged people endeavoring to gain things through the Vedas. But no. These temporary gains should be rejected, and people, because the happiness and distress will come automatically according to one's karma anyway. But people should only be engaged. The conclusion is people should only be engaged in that which is unattainable in the material world. That means something eternal. So even if a devotee of Krishna sometimes may fall down, his situation is not like that of a materialistic person who has no transcendental goal of loving service to Krishna. His situation is completely different because he has tasted something. There's something in his heart. He's gained something. And it's of a different quality. It may be still in a very, very small seedling, almost just spreading ankur, just sprouting. Maybe very neophyte, or maybe very, very exalted. But yet, it has a different taste, a different quality, and he won't be able to forget that. For that ecstasy, that taste, will carry him to the lotus feet of Krishna again and again. Text 20. Again, Vyasadeva was feeling incomplete. And this is the situation of everyone in the material world. And instead of looking in the right place to remove the incompleteness, or instead of connecting ourselves to Krishna, we tend, the conditioned souls, try one thing after the next, after the next, after the next on the material level, abrahma bhuvana loka punata avinajana, from going from here to there, this situation, I want that, I want that, I want that, to remove the incompleteness, but nothing works. But on the other hand, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead Himself, is this cosmos, and yet He's aloof from it. There's no reason actually to feel separate from Krishna, because He is everything and everywhere. Everything comes from Him, everything is maintained by Him, in Him it rests after it is annihilated, and you know this already. You have perfect vision, Narada tells Vyas. You yourself can know the Supersoul Personality of Godhead because you are present as the plenary portion of the Lord, because Vyasa's self is an incarnation. And although you are birthless, you have appeared on the earth for the well-being of all people. You know these points. So therefore, please describe the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, more vividly. He is everything. And this is what we're going to hear in the second canto and the third canto. We've already heard it very, very briefly in the end of the third canto and the second and third chapters. Second canto will explain in great detail how there is nothing separate from Krishna, although he is aloof. So therefore, and we're going to hear some very important points on this from Prabhupada, and this is actually the subject matter of one of the subject matters of the Chatusloki Bhagavatam verses. How there is nothing separate from Krishna. And if one develops a relationship with Krishna, then he actually sees Krishna everywhere. So describe these pastimes of the Lord very vividly. Idam hi pumsa tapasa shrutasyava. Who knows this verse? And by looking at it. Very good. Great memory. Idam hi pumsa tapasa shrutasyava. Svitasya satasya cha buddhi datayo. Idam, this, everyone, the activities of everyone, whether they're tapa, austerity, shrutasya, learning, study of the Vedas, svitasya, sacrifice, suktasya, education, buddhi, knowledge, datta, charity. What's the purpose of all this? Because all these things you've described in the Vedas, but their purpose is yadutamas loka gunanavananam, to bring us to the platform of glorification of the Lord. So please describe that. Describe the ultimate. People get confused when you describe the intermediary steps. They take those as ultimate. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerity, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns and charity, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. Prabhupada explains just at the end of his purport, all other branches of knowledge should always be engaged in the service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, also the same is affirmed. All knowledge not engaged in the service of the Lord is but nescience. What does nescience mean? Darkness, ignorance. The opposite of science, knowledge, ignorance. Real utilization of advanced knowledge is to establish the glories of the Lord, and that is the real import. Scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord and all similar activities are all factually Hari Kirtan, or glorification of the Lord. Because nothing is separate from Him, and everything's purpose is to glorify Him when brought to its ultimate end. So now, just imagine. Not imagine, we should be able to remember this, that when we've touched an atmosphere that was fully enlivened, aflamed in Krishna consciousness, where all the devotees are enthusiastic about serving Krishna, chanting Krishna's names, glorifying Krishna, glorifying Prabhupada, glorifying the devotees, serving the Vaishnavas and preaching. An atmosphere that is surcharged with just what Narada Muni is describing. Basically, surcharged with the glorification of the Lord is so powerful that any conditioned soul who touches that atmosphere will become influenced by it. And he'll become inspired to become Krishna conscious. So to show the potency of an atmosphere that as as Narada has explained, is surcharged in Krishna consciousness. How powerful that is. Narada is going to narrate the story of his own life, because he was born in very unfortunate circumstances. He was cursed previously. He was a Gandhava. Who knows the name of that Gandhava, described in the 7th canto, 15th chapter? Upabharani, something like that. And he was cursed. You know that story? Movie songs. Yes. Because he was cursed. He was surrounded by beautiful denizens of the higher planets. And he was singing at a Sankirtan festival. He was singing non-devotional songs and attracting all the Matajis. And he was cursed by the Prajapatis to take his next birth as a Sudra. And that became Narada Muni. He became Narada Muni. So, of course, there are histories of this. But Narada Muni, he didn't know who his father was. So in any case, in the last millennium, Narada says, to explain the potency, Prabhupada explains in the second canto that two things are favorable in Krishna consciousness. One is a birth in a Vaishnava family, very favorable. And second is association, coming in contact with an exalted spiritual master. Prabhupada was speaking about his own spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So he took his birth not in a devotee family, but he was born as the son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of Brahmins who were following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. So when boys are young, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, go get this, do this, bring this. Naturally obedient, unless completely spoiled, as the way children do become spoiled in this day and age. We'll read Prabhupada's purport to this verse. We'll read quite a few purports. Most of them we'll read parts of them because there's so many that are powerful. But you've already read them in full, so that's wonderful. The wonder of an atmosphere surcharged with devotional service to the Lord is briefly described herein by Sri Narada Muni. I want to say, before we move through this chapter and the next chapter, that In these verses, there are the essential points that we want to pick up if we want to gain the same results that Narada gained. Pick up and apply to our own lives. And we'll see clearly why he's explaining to Vyasadeva to write Srimad Bhagavatam directly about the Lord, because it's very powerful. But the instructions that we have to apply to our own life are clearly given here. So Narada Muni was the son of the most insignificant parentage. He was not properly educated. Still, because his complete energy was engaged in the service of the Lord, he became an immortal sage. Such is the powerful action of devotional service. The living entities are the marginal energy of the Lord, and therefore they are meant for being properly utilized in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. When this is not done, one's situation is called Maya. Therefore, the illusion of Maya is at once dissipated as soon as one's full energy is converted in the service of the Lord instead of in sense enjoyment. That means, as will be explained later, that not one's full energy means subtle and gross, mind and body. From the personal example of Sri Narada Muni in his previous birth, it is clear that the service of the Lord begins with the service of the Lord's bona fide servants. The Lord says that the service of his servants is greater than his personal service. Service of the devotee is more valuable than the service of the Lord. One should therefore choose a bona fide servant of the Lord, constantly engaged in his service, accept such a servant of the Lord, constantly engaged in his Krishna service, accept such a servant as the spiritual master and engage himself in the spiritual master's service. Such a spiritual master is the transparent medium by which to visualize the Lord, who is beyond the conception of the material senses. By service of the bona fide spiritual master, the Lord consents to reveal himself in proportion to the service rendered. Utilization of the human energy in the service of the Lord is the progressive path of salvation. Now, before we read the next line of the purport, we'll just go back to text where Narada says, the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead is himself this cosmos, and still he is aloof from it. So he is everything here. Now in the purport, Prabhupada says, the whole cosmic creation becomes at once identical with the Lord. So although he is everything, we don't see him in that way due to Maya. That's the function of Maya. It gives a separate vision of everything that we see as separate from the Lord. Well, in fact, nothing is separate from the Lord. So the whole cosmic creation becomes at once identical with the Lord as soon as service in relation with the Lord is rendered under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So this is such a gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us, especially with such a huge movement as ISKCON, with such a huge task. One time, it's actually on a tape, but I heard this so many years ago, that in 1967, Yamuna Mataji was speaking to Prabhupada in San Francisco, and she was telling Prabhupada about a dream that she had. She said there was such a big kirtan, and the whole world was chanting. And Prabhupada was on a big platform. This was her dream. And when Prabhupada said the Prema Dhwani prayers, she told Prabhupada, the whole world bowed down. And Prabhupada said, now my Guru Maharaj is satisfied. That's what he said in the dream. Because that, practically speaking, was Prabhupada's mission. It wasn't a very small mission, but he wouldn't be satisfied until the whole world was bowing down to Krishna. So what a huge mission. And we who are, so at least I could speak for myself, so much a product of Kali Yuga and have so many attachments to computers, to this, to that, to this, to that. But all these things can be used in Krishna's service because the mission is so great. And those things become at once the cosmic creation. Even if we use every single atom in the world in Krishna's service, it at once becomes identical with the Lord. As soon as service in relationship with the Lord is rendered under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. The expert spiritual master knows the art of utilizing everything to glorify the Lord, and therefore under his guidance, the whole world can be turned into the spiritual abode by the divine grace of the Lord's servant. So Narada Muni is describing how he was just a young boy engaged in the service of the Brahmins who were passing the Chaturmasya period, and he was doing some menial service for them. Although they were impartial by nature, those followers of the Vedanta blessed me with their causeless mercy. So this is the art of attracting causeless mercy, an impartial mercy. One can attract it, although it's impartial, by acting as Narada Muni acted. As far as I was concerned, I was self-controlled, had no attachment for sports, even though I was a boy. In addition, I was not naughty, and I did not speak more than required. So he had prerequisite qualities that in and of themselves weren't spiritual, but they attracted mercy to him. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport, just at the bottom of this first page of the purport. Such Vedantavadis, or the Bhakti Vedantas, are impartial in distributing the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. To them, no one is enemy or friend. No one is educated or uneducated. No one is especially favorable and no one is unfavorable. The Bhaktivedantas see that the people in general are wasting time in false sensuous things. Their business is to get the ignorant mass of people to reestablish the lost relationship with the personality of Godhead. By such endeavor, even the most forgotten soul is roused up to the sense of spiritual life, and thus being initiated by the Bhakti Vedantas, the people in general gradually progress on the path of transcendental realization. So the Vedantavadis initiated the boy even before he was self-controlled, before he became self-controlled and was detached from childish sporting, etc. But before the initiation, he, the boy, became more and more advanced in discipline, which is very essential for one who wishes to make progress in the line. So Prabhupada would often say that disciple means discipline. Right at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, without being self-controlled, without being disciplined, and without being fully obedient, no one can become successful in following the instructions of the spiritual master. And without doing so, no one is able to go back to Godhead. So Narada was serving them. He was a very good boy. And then once only, by their permission, I took the remnants of their food. And by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus being engaged, I became purified in heart. And at that time, the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. Pure devotion is as much infectious, in a good sense, as infectious diseases. It's catching. A pure devotee is cleared from all kinds of sins. The personality of Godhead is the purest entity, and unless one is equally pure from the infection of material qualities, one cannot become a pure devotee of the Lord. The Bhakti Vedantas, as above mentioned, were pure devotees, and the boy became infected with their qualities of purity by their association and by eating once the remnants of the foodstuff taken by them. Such remnants may be taken even without permission of the pure devotees. There are sometimes pseudo-devotees, and one should be very much cautious about them. There are many things which hinder one from entering devotional service, but by the association of pure devotees, all these obstacles are removed. And therefore, what is the verse about delivering perfection? Lava matra. Because there's something, it's infectious. Because whenever we associate with anyone, there is an exchange of consciousness. Unavoidable. Consciousness, what's in that person's heart comes to us, and what's in our heart comes to them. And the more intimate the association, the more intimate the exchange of consciousness. Material desires infected in that way, and spiritual desires. What's in one's heart gets transferred by association. And therefore, the opposite verse is also said in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Tyaga, evaishnavachar. Because a devotee, what he has in his heart is Govinda, is Krishna. Krishna's service. That loving service mood, and that is not of this world. What preaching is, when the devotees in their preaching, they open up their hearts and something transcendental comes out and the other person is infected. By the association of pure devotees, all these obstacles are removed because all the desires are washed away, material desires are washed away, and another desire starts to burn brightly in the heart. The neophyte devotee becomes practically enriched with the transcendental qualities of the pure devotee, which means attraction for the personality of Godhead's name, fame, qualities, pastimes. Infection of the qualities of the pure devotee means to imbibe the taste of pure devotion always in the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. So this is the purifying process, and this is what Prabhupada wanted ISKCON to be, his society to be. A place where very serious devotees, pure devotees dwell, and therefore whoever comes in contact with them also becomes infected with these pure Krishna conscious desires. This transcendental taste at once makes all material things distasteful. Therefore, a pure devotee is not at all attracted by material activities. Param dvistvananavartate. After the elimination of all sins or obstacles on the path of devotion, one can become attracted. So this is, Prabhupada is going to paraphrase here, Saru Sangha, describing adoshradha. So anatta navritti, one becomes attracted, then one can have steadiness, one can have a perfect taste, ruchi, one can have transcendental emotions, and at last, one can be situated in the plane of loving service to the Lord. All these stages develop by the association of pure devotees. And that is the purport of this stanza. So the essence of advancement is association. Narada continues. Ovyas, Vyasadeva, in that association, and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describing the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. So this is what association means. It means to hear. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido bhavanti ritkana rasayanaha kata. In his room in Bombay, and there was a Westerner, and Prabhupada said, yes, something about association, you need association. And he said, is that satsang? But you know, have to know what the word means. And then he quoted that verse. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido. That in that association, there's Krishna Katha being discussed. And then you have to apply the things that are meant in that association, that come about in that association. So there's the hearing and the association and the application of what one hears. Prabhupada's purport, we'll read about a little more than one third of the way down. We'll start there. Instead of wasting time, one can get spiritual success by turning his attention to the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. By hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Lord, one contacts directly the personality of Godhead. And as explained before, by hearing about the personality of Godhead from within, all accumulated sins of the mundane creature are cleared. What verse is that? And also, Shrinvitam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtanam, Vidyanta Sto, from within the heart, Krishna, Abhadrani, all the inauspiciousness, he himself takes it out. Thus being cleared of all sins, the hearer gradually becomes liberated from mundane association and becomes attracted to the features of the Lord. Narada Muni has just explained this by his personal experience. The whole idea is that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, one can become one of the associates of the Lord. Narada Muni has eternal life, unlimited knowledge, and unfathomed bliss. And he can travel all over the material and spiritual worlds without restriction. One can attain to the highest perfection of life simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right sources, as Sri Narada heard them from the pure devotees, the Bhaktivedantas, in his previous life. This process of hearing in the association of the devotees is especially recommended in this age of quarrel, Kali. And therefore, Narada Muni has recommended to Srila Vyasadeva to write directly about the glorious Lord, write directly about him, directly. That's the goal and the means as well. It removes all obstacles. Oh, great sage, Narada continues, as soon as I got a taste of the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching. And as my taste developed, I could realize that it was only in my ignorance that I had accepted gross and subtle coverings, for both the Lord and I are transcendental. F. Ignorance in material existence is compared to darkness, and in all Vedic literatures, the personality of Godhead is compared to the sun. Wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness. Hearing of the Lord's pastimes is itself transcendental association with the Lord, because there is no difference between the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. To become associated with the supreme light is to dissipate all ignorance. By ignorance only, the conditioned soul wrongly thinks that both he and the Lord are products of material nature. But in fact, the personality of Godhead and the living beings are transcendental, and they have nothing to do with the material nature. When ignorance is removed, and it is perfectly realized that there is nothing existing without the personality of Godhead, then nescience is removed. That there is nothing in existence except from other than him. And all feelings of separateness from him are illusion. On this verse, I have a comment by Srila Sridhar Swami. He says that the word askalita matir, that's in the second line, priyas ravasya askalita matir mama, that means uninterrupted attention. So Srila Sridhar Swami has commented on these words and saying he cited its meaning as firm fixed intelligence, which was immediately generated within Narada as soon as he gained a taste and attraction for the Lord. And Srila Jiva Goswami comments on the next verse, which we'll read in a moment. Thus, during two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, I had the opportunity to hear these great souled sages constantly chanting the unadulterated glories of the Lord Hari. As the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the mode of passion and ignorance vanished. So Srila Jiva Goswami comments in that verse saying, as devotion developed within Narada, which came directly from his fixed intelligence, that was the askalita matir, firm fixed intelligence, that devotion destroyed any remaining passion and ignorance. Transcendental loving service for the Supreme Lord is the natural inclination of every living being. The instinct is dormant in everyone. But due to the association of material nature, the modes of passion and ignorance cover this from time immemorial. If by the grace of the Lord and the great-souled devotees of the Lord, a living being becomes fortunate enough to associate with the unadulterated devotees of the Lord and gets a chance to hear the unadulterated glories of the Lord, certainly the flow of devotional service takes place like the flow of a river. As the river flows on till she reaches the sea, similarly, pure devotional service flows by the association of pure devotees till it reaches the ultimate goal, namely transcendental love of God. Such a flow of devotional service cannot stop. On the contrary, it increases more and more without limitation. The flow of devotional service is so potent that any onlooker also becomes liberated from the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. These two qualities of nature are thus removed, and the living being is liberated, being situated in his original position. So we're hearing here the development of love for Krishna stemming from association with exalted devotees. Narada continues, I was very much attached to those sages. I was gentle in behavior, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. These are the necessary qualifications of a prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to the position of a pure, unadulterated devotee. Such a candidate must always seek the association of pure devotees. One should not be misled by a pseudo-devotee. He himself must be plain and gentle to receive the instructions of such a pure devotee. A pure devotee is a completely surrendered soul unto the personality of Godhead. Very important, surrendered. Gotriptre varanam tata, engaged in the Lord's service, wishing to please him, infallible. He knows the personality of Godhead as the supreme proprietor and others as his servitors. And by the association of pure devotees only, one can get rid of all sins accumulated by mundane association. A neophyte devotee must faithfully serve the pure devotee, and he should be very much obedient and strictly follow the instructions. These are the signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success even in the existing duration of life. So herein, in these verses, the emphasis is so much on association with devotees and hearing in their association and following their instructions, becoming disciplined, becoming a good disciple. As they were leaving, those Bhaktivedantas, who are very kind to poor-hearted souls, instructed me in that most confidential subject which is instructed by the personality of Godhead himself. So this was, Prabhupada explains in his purport, that this most confidential knowledge was not knowledge of Brahman, but it was knowledge of the personal feature of the Lord, and knowledge of the living entities, all of our relationship with the Lord, which is surrender. Sava damam prityaja, mame kam sharanam braja. In addition, Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this verse that the most confidential knowledge that the sages explained to Narada was the Chatusloki Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam 2:9:33-36. From which the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is expanded, those verses. That this knowledge is far above impersonal knowledge. So this is what's going to be emphasized. Narada heard this from the Bhaktivedantas. He also heard it from Lord Brahma. And he wants this knowledge to be emphasized by Srila Vyasadeva in his writing, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 31. What was the result of that confidential knowledge? By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. The Lord desires, as he has directly said in the Bhagavad Gita, that all conditioned souls rotting in the kingdom of material energy come back to him by giving up all engagements in the material world. This is the most confidential part of knowledge, but this can be understood only by pure devotees, and only such devotees enter the kingdom of God to see him personally and serve him personally. The concrete example is Narada himself, who attained this stage of eternal knowledge and eternal bliss. And the ways and means are open to all, provided one agrees to follow in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni. So now, Narada is going to take a little break from his explanation of how he became Narada Muni after his birth, and he's going to instruct strongly Vyasadeva again. Because he wishes Vyasadeva to write the Bhagavatam, and he wishes, by the living entities hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing the glories of the Lord, that the root of their material existence is cut at the very root, at the level of bhunte prakriti janiha karanam guna sangasa sadasa joni janmasu, at the root of their attempt to enjoy the material world. The root And they want them, the living entities, all of us, to turn towards Krishna and understand that we are His servant. And therefore use, we are meant, as Prabhupada said in that purport, to be utilized in Krishna's service. So therefore he says, O Brahman Vyasadev, there will be so many attempts to remove misery. And that's what all self-centered attempts. But it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. We'll expand these points and put it into a perspective in a moment. But first, we'll read some of the purport. Sri Narada Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. This is the only remedial process. But in this verse, he said, the method of getting free from miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Lord. So what's the connection? That's true, but what's the connection? What's the connection? And even in the verse it says, for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities. And Prabhupada says the remedial method is to hear from the right sources. So what's the connection? Yeah. But here it says the remedial method is specifically the service. So where does the hearing fit in? Why is that the remedial method? Which is more remedial? Which is actually more remedial? Why does Prabhupada say in the purport the only remedial process is hearing, as Narada said, yeah. Yes. And we also learn why. Why should anyone serve someone else? Well, the reason we should serve Krishna is because He's God. Everything comes from Him. We're naturally His servants by nature. We're souls, we're eternal. We're trapped in the material world because we don't want to serve Krishna. He's God, He's great, we're tiny. That's just what no one wants to hear. But unless we hear about Krishna and by the hearing process become attracted to Him, we won't have the tendency, determination, especially unflinching determination, over a long period of time, which is what's required. Because the nature of devotional life, when we first join, we think it's, oh, I'll just chant Hare Krishna, and oh, in 2 years, oh, I'll be with Krishna. And everyone went, oh, Jai Prabhu, Jai, ecstasy, Prabhu. But as experience at time teaches, life just isn't always like that, especially devotional life. Because by superficial consciousness, we can't get in. We have to be pushed deeper and deeper and deeper, and Krishna will do that. But we have to hear properly and get unflinching faith and good association when our faith and determination starts wavering and quivering, as it will do. We need good devotee friends to prop us up, association. Hearing is most remedial. From that comes the desire to serve, to understand that this is who we are. We are Krishna's servants. This is who we are at the very core of our being. We're not the body. We're not the mind. We are Krishna's. And all other attempts to remove our misery, as Prabhupada explains, fail. We should know for certain that the Lord is the all Prabhupada's explaining here in the rest of the purport, that even we'll try so hard so many other ways, but unless Krishna sanctions it, we can't do anything on our own. And then Prabhupada explains here, and putting it, he makes a perspective here, how everyone should use whatever they have, whatever they are, use the material world in Krishna's service under the directions of a bona fide spiritual master. That is the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. This is sort of towards the end of the purport. The best thing is, after all, to get relief from all material activities and engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But in the case of the absence of such an opportunity, one should try to engage in the service of the Lord everything for which one has a special attraction. And that is the way of peace and prosperity. Whoever we are, whatever our tendencies are, whatever we're attracted to, whatever we're good at, whatever talents, these are given by Krishna. So we should give them back to Krishna by engaging them in his service. If we have an ability, if we are pure enough, we could chant in here all day long. But if not, then we should work, use everything for Krishna's service, but not just use everything for Krishna's service. As will be explained later, there is something else we have to do too, as we're using everything for Krishna's service. And then someone might say, but working, I've been working so hard, and my work has just caused me so much anxiety. I want to become a devotee and avoid working. But this work is of different quality. It's meant for Krishna's pleasure. So therefore, oh good soul, there's not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing. The Karanam Guna Sangasya Sarasad Joni Janmasu, by association with the modes of material nature and trying to Bhunte Prakriti Janiha, by trying to enjoy the things of the material world through our work, we've entangled ourselves. But that same work can be used to unentangle us. Like the yogurt, when we drink too much milk, the yogurt can cure the disease that the too much milk, the overindulgence, has caused. Thus, and here is the philosophy to back up that example, text 34. Thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which causes perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord, this again is that same definition of Bhagavad Dharma that we were hearing before when Narada told Vyasa, engage in Bhagavad Dharma, or rather Vyasadeva said, maybe my problem is I haven't engaged in Bhagavad Dharma. Here, Narada is defining it again. Ya atra kriyate karma Bhagavat paritoshanam, activities for the pleasure of the Bhagavat, of Krishna. Gyanam yadtad adinam hi bhakti yoga samanvitam. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord, and what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. What other verse earlier in the first canto? Very similar. Bhagavat paritoshanam. Have the consciousness when we're working to actually please him. This is done for your pleasure. Yatta pravata bhutanam yena savam. My Lord, please be pleased by this work. But while performing 36 duties according to the orders of Sri Krishna, work for his pleasure, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one constantly remembers him, his names, and his qualities. So not, okay, I have to do the work, now I completely forget the one I'm working for. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. Remember me, Krishna tells Arjuna, and fight. And it's natural, if one has love for the person and is actually fighting for the or working for the pleasure of that person, one constantly remembers him, his names, and his qualities. And how can we remember him, his names, and his qualities unless we hear? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. The Smaranam comes after the Shravanam. The These purports are very powerful, very important instructions for everyone how to, we'll just read the first, just the beginning of this purport. An expert devotee of the Lord can mold his life in such a way that while performing all kinds of duties, either for this or the next life, he can constantly remember the Lord's name, fame, qualities, etc. The order of the Lord is distinctly there in the Bhagavad Gita. One should work only for the Lord in all spheres of life. In every sphere of life, the Lord should be situated as the proprietor. Only ourselves, only as servants. Complete turnaround of material consciousness. A revolution within the hearts of humankind. Acting as a servant of Krishna. Let us all chant the glories of Vasudeva along with the plenary expansions, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Shankarshan. This is his recommendation. So hearing, chanting, being conscious, and working for. Thus he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound vibration, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who has no material form. So this is the way to worship the Lord, through transcendental sound vibration, through speaking about him, through hearing about him. And this, as we're going to hear in the next chapter, is not what Narada Muni is exactly what he's going to do. After he gets the instructions, after they leave, the story went up to the point where the Bhaktivedantas left, and before they left, the boy Narada, before they left him, they instructed him on the Chatusloki Bhagavatam, and then they left. And then Narada began to describe work for Krishna. So this is what he wants to say. The actual seer, the one who sees reality as it is, as we heard in that previous verse, was it? Perhaps it was 30, that there's nothing different from the Lord. No, it wasn't 30. Everything is coming from him. He is everywhere. There's nothing separate from him. But how can we associate with him? How can we always be with him? How can we stop feeling alienated and disconnected to worship him through the transcendental sound representation, through his service? He's there in those things. Abhinatam namanamano. It's actually there. So to always associate with Krishna, this is what we want. This is the natural condition of the soul. This is the recommendation of Narada Muni, and this is how Narada Muni is going to live his life. Some special mercy. I think tomorrow we hear about that. But anyway, we'll finish this chapter before we move on to the next. So he lived in this way, associating with Krishna through sound vibration continuously. Kali Kalera Nama. No, what is it? Yes, exactly. Thank you. Again, please. He's there. This is our goal, to always chant Krishna's names. So Narada Muni lives like this, and we hear about that, but now Narada's going to say what the results of this were. So he said, O Brahmana, thus by the Supreme Lord Krishna, I was endowed first with the transcendental knowledge of the Lord as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas. I gained all knowledge, then with spiritual opulences, all siddhis, and then with his intimate loving service. I'll read a little of this purport before we read the final verse. Communion with the Lord by transmission of the transcendental sound is none different from the whole spirit, Lord Sri Krishna. It is completely perfect method for approaching the Lord. By such pure contact with the Lord, without offense or material conception, the offense, these are 10, the devotee can rise above the material plane to understand the inner meaning of the Vedic literatures, including the Lord's existence in the transcendental realm. The Lord reveals his identity gradually to one who has unflinching faith both in the spiritual master and the Lord. Therefore, Narada concludes his instructions to Vyasa in this chapter, saying, please, therefore, describe the Almighty Lord's activities which you have learned by your vast knowledge of the Vedas, for that will satisfy the hankerings of great learned men and at the same time mitigate the miseries of the masses of common people who are always suffering from material pangs. Indeed, there is no other way to get out of such misery. Become aware of your relationship with Krishna by associating with him through all these different ways of transcendental association, sound vibration, working for him, all based on hearing about him. And Prabhupada's purport that you've all read already, and we'll just read the last paragraph. Sri Naradaji advises Vyasadeva to describe the glories of the Lord just to do good to all eight classes of men, both good and bad, the Duskritina and the Sukritina. Srimad Bhagavatam is therefore not meant for any particular class of men or sect. It is for the sincere soul who actually wants his own welfare and peace of mind. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, fifth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam for Srila Vyasadeva. The life of Narada. Anyone would like to answer that? How will hearing Srimad Bhagavatam do good for people who are against Krishna? So that's the specific point you're making. Yes. What will be the effect on people who are envious of Krishna if they hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Or if, say, if we'll take it on another level, if you distribute a book to them, what will be the effect? They could change, or they could get angry, or they were not sure how Krishna is going. They and Krishna have to work that out. One effect could be they could change by hearing, and that would mean that they're probably more innocent than demonic. What's the verse at the end of the third chapter? Mrityum Shuti Parayana, because of their tendency to hear, Yepi Chatit Tirantyeva, Mrityum Shuti Parayana. Huh? Though they may have no knowledge, and most of the people in the world are actually innocent. They're impious, but they're innocent. They're not demonic. So by hearing the message of Krishna, just by that process of hearing, their heart changes. But if someone is demonic, they too may change. But sometimes they'll just become more demonic, and let that happen also by Krishna's arrangement. Tanaham dvishata krodam samsureshya naradama. And did you ever have the pleasure of chanting Hare Krishna on the streets in the West? Yes. You get incredibly different reactions from people. Some people, I hate you, you know, it's like that. And other people, you know, joke, oh, here are the Hare Krishnas. Here they go again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And other people, they look at you curiously. And gradually, and this is, and probably devotees who have, in New York, if you go to New York, if you walk around in a dhoti, so many people walk over to you and say, where are you people nowadays? You used to always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And they start dancing and telling you that, but now we don't see you anymore. To become really attracted by Krishna, we have to give up our duskritina-ness. Yes. Is that all right, Prabhu?
You should do that.
No, but what Prabhupada has said in another purport that we also read, I think it was last week, that he means really Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, not Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, not Bhagavatam is preferable for the preaching, but either of these, they're both Krishna Katha, because one is coming from the mouth of Krishna, and an ocean of nectar, a river of nectar flowing from the mouth of Krishna, and the other is about Krishna. So they're both, there are two kinds of Krishna Katha. So it's not one or the other, but really it's one or the other. They're both the same. They're both transcendental and powerful in that way. If you're doing that in Bengal, it's probably okay. I've also, one time I told Prabhupada that I heard devotees, when people come to the temple, they were describing, the first thing they started describing to Westerners, that forearm forms of Narayan. So he just looked at me and said, you know, why are they doing that? So people do all kinds of peculiar things, but I don't think that's what is being referred to here.
It's not backed up.
No. And always the Bhagavatam we should read from the beginning. But also, Prabhupada in 1969 started dictating the Krishna book, and he published it in 1970, and he didn't print just 200 copies or 400 copies. He wanted it widely distributed because he wrote it in a particular way that the purports, everything, the Bhagavad Gita is built into it. And Prabhupada's books are generally like that anyway. They're multi-leveled. The Bhagavad Gita is very much in the Bhagavatam too, which is probably also a good answer to what you said. Yes. Did you want to, would you like to add more to what your question, answering your own question? Because you could anyway, I'm sure. And actually, so much of the Bhagavatam is actually written on the level of Bhagavad Gita. And one other thing. Sri, how much the devotees are, as far as I've seen, are respected for a Western country. And the prasadam distribution just turned everyone around. And every temple in Australia has at least one restaurant. How many there in Brisbane? Three restaurants.
22 restaurants.
It wasn't always like that either. In the 70s, when I was in Australia, people really, they thought we were horrible. But, very much because of prasadam distribution. It doesn't taste so good, huh? A little unpalatable. Well, people in general aren't going to, as soon as you talk about no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating, you're not going to be the most popular person on the block. But that's what we stand for. But yet, to help people become more pious and ourselves, this is Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Everyone else can fall asleep, but the person who's speaking. Not that everyone was falling asleep, but preaching, of course, is very important for the movement.